from the Ohio State University Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing, this is Writer's Talk. I'm Doug Dangler, and together we'll explore the idea of writing, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, songwriting, or screenwriting. If somebody wrote it, we'll talk about it. What would you do a few hours before graduating with a degree in classical singing from the Royal Conservatory of Mons, Belgium? If you're Worthington, Ohio native Randall Williams, you tell your teacher you're quitting classical music and traveling the world writing songs. Randall has traveled extensively, chronicling his experiences in song and prose, writing music instruction books and DVDs, and performing more than 100 shows a year. On his 2008 release, Praying for Land, he writes about parted lovers, lost adventurers, and his wandering lifestyle. He talked to me from Puerto Rico about his current work. The spirit of
Amelia. What are you working on right now and thinking about in your current work?
I spent 10 years traveling internationally. I speak 7 languages, and I've been to over 40 countries. And when I came back to the States 3 years ago, I let all of that go in deference to trying to be like everybody else, another white kid with a guitar. And so my shows for the last couple of years as I've been traveling around the States have been me singing songs about experiences. And I really have done myself a grand disservice by not engaging who I am as an international traveler, communicator, teacher, learner. And so I've had a fairly large career shift in the last several months, whereby I have decided that what I really need to be better at is integrating who I am with what I do as an integrating form and content, who I am being a traveler, and therefore I need to be better about integrating that into what I do. So I've just come back from 3 weeks in Haiti, the Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico, where I was making music with locals and filming it. The idea being that in this internet day and age, it's much more interesting because you have access to the entire world through the internet. It's much more interesting to be an international musician who is making music with international people than just being another white American kid with a guitar singing songs about relationships or whatever. So what I'm working on right now, actually this very moment, is editing the video that I took in Haiti, whereby I sat in with a woman who was a protest singer who was beaten and exiled in 84 and has just come back to Haiti to more actively participate in the local democracy. And I'm editing that video down and editing some more video down from the Dominican and Puerto Rico and setting in place a Central Asia trip for December to do the same over there, and building a career model around international exchange, taking folks abroad, and bringing back things from those countries to sell here.
What kinds of collaboration do you do when you're writing? Do you get to write songs with people?
Yeah, it really depends. It depends on who the person is and what they bring to the table. I don't do a lot of co-writing in the States, but on this trip to Haiti, for example, there was a lot of spontaneous writing that happened. There's a rich tradition in Haiti of sort of call and response, make it up as you go along songwriting that we don't necessarily have in the West. And that happened on a number of occasions, that we would make up songs on the spot and start into a riff.
Well, what's in general, your writing process? How do you get things onto paper in a way that you can then perform them?
What tends to happen in my process is that I'll end up with 2 or 3 ideas and sort of pit them against each other. The interaction of those 2 ideas together tends to be what will make the song, and that's kind of where I head. And I tend to start with a large free write to sort of collect several pages of text, and then the music comes fairly easily after that.
So it sounds like you're a proponent of a lot of free writing as a way to get things down on paper. Are there other techniques that you use that you recommend for songwriters or writers?
You know, there's all kinds of different things that you can do. Focus on something completely different. For example, taking an inanimate object and animating it, tell the story of something. I think songwriting maturity, and I don't think of myself as a terribly mature songwriter. I'm always sort of pushing against my weak spots. I think that the more different ways that we have to go at it, the better. And I think we would all do better to to do different things, that, you know, actors who act different roles, musicians who work at it from different ways. The free writing thing tends to work well for me for the moment, and I think as I grow as a writer, I'll start doing more of those other things that some of my colleagues are doing.
Is there a genre that you haven't written in yet that you'd like to try? Is there a romance novel that's trying to get it out that you haven't tried yet?
I've written a personal travel narrative, full length, 220 pages. I've written prose for different articles. I'd like to be a better poet. I think it would be more fun. And musically, I think I'd like to try a rap, actually. I just recorded a rap for Christmas, which was written by a colleague of mine, Vance Gilbert. And I just yesterday recorded the Rudolph rap for radio promotion in December. And I kind of got the intuition that I'd like to write a rap version of Alice's Restaurant. We'll see.
I'm going to resist any suggestion that if you wrote an article on it, then you could have Christmas wrap paper, just because that would be a terrible pun. And I don't stoop that low. When you're thinking about turning your poetry into songwriting, I'm wondering if you can say a few words about what Paul Zolo calls singability, finding words that function well within a song.
It, for me, happens almost entirely intuitively. I have colleagues who think about it intellectually. I am fairly comfortable with my voice, and that being said, I've continued to be fairly vanilla. I don't push my range to the extreme lows or extreme highs, and I don't tend to over-exaggerate much of what I do, some of which I got to play with in the rap, which was really liberating. I do think there's something, too, where vowels and consonants get placed for effect in a song. And, like I said, I don't tend to think about it intellectually, but I do think it's really important that, you know, if you're aiming for a nice, big, fat, open something, that you have a nice, big, fat, open vowel to land on top of. Or if you're going to signify something or indicate something, even without saying it. For example, the last line of my song, Praying for Land, has this great leap of a fifth into a really powerful, huge open vowel. And a colleague of mine said that one day. He said, oh, that's actually citing land from the crow's nest. And I said, oh, okay, well, that's interesting, because I'd never thought about it that way. But actually, unconsciously, that's what was happening. And I think there is a lot to that, and I think it's terribly important.
I've noticed it in a couple of your songs, Spirit of Amelia and War Stories. You have a female voice singing the female lines, or in Spirit of Amelia, there's Amelia Earhart, Mayday, Mayday call.
Right,
going
right.
In. And I'm wondering what led you to substitute somebody else's voice instead of inhabiting, say, the lyrics in your own voice, as I assume you do in concert, although you probably don't do the Spirit of Amelia voiceover. But what led you to do those in somebody else's voice, or that one in War Stories?
Those were production decisions made by myself and Dave Eber, who's a great producer. And the female voice that you're hearing, his wife, Krista DeTour, DeTor. She is a stunning and delicious songwriter, and I highly recommend looking her up. Matter of fact, I believe she's playing in Columbus later in the year. Or early next year, if I'm remembering correctly. She's from Bloomington, Indiana. Part of the production decision that happens when you make a CD is you want something which people are able to continue to listen to for a long time. And so when it's just a voice and a guitar, you have a limited depth of field to work with. I would hope that my stuff is interesting enough, but I know that if you layer more things on it, more stuff to look at, more stuff to listen to, it's easier to listen to over time. And the idea behind creating a CD for multiple listens, as opposed to a concert, which is made for one listen, is that you're trying to add layers of subtlety and nuance that complement the music so that on your 10th and 15th listen, you're still hearing something new. Krista's voice is, I think, one of the best voices in the industry. I love the work she does, and it was a real privilege to have her singing along. And the idea was, I think, giving the listener something else to hang on to, so that 15 or 20 listens in, it's still engaging.
What singer-songwriters do you particularly admire or enjoy listening to?
Immediate colleagues come to mind, actually. Lindsay Mack, who plays the cello standing up. Joe Crookston, who's a very rootsy songwriter. Those two folks, actually, and Anthony DaCosta, a 17-year-old who writes a whole lot like Dylan. I was on tour with those three in May, and I have deep respect for what they do. right now listening to Carrie Newcomer, Krista Vitour, John Smith, all one word, johnsmithmusic.com. A lot of the folks who are really digging at it. Billy Jonas, I have a lot of respect for. Billy Jonas beats on buckets. That's his thing. A lot of those folks.
What do you do when you have trouble with writing? How do you, you know, work with that? And what's the thing that you enjoy the most about it? Feel free to walk down either one of those avenues.
Yeah, I can go to both of those places. When I'm having trouble writing, I shift the puzzle pieces. Writing comes easiest for me when I have a lot of emotional, mental, physical space. My year is fairly busy usually. I do about 36,000 road miles in the van, do about 100 and some shows a year. And I tend to work pretty hard. I'm a business mind, kind of almost as much as I'm a creative mind. And so I really need a whole lot of space to write. And so when I'm having trouble writing, I need to shift the stones around and go get some quiet space. And in August, I tried to take 3 days down to do some writing and found that it wasn't enough. I was sort of so deep inside all the other stuff in my head swirling around that I even taking 3 days off, I was unable to really get anything out when I tried to write. And so I shifted it up even more, and I went ahead and took these 3 weeks to the Caribbean, which really sort of helped me reframe and refocus. And I'm starting to write again now, which is really good. But I tend to just take a whole lot of space and also just be really gentle with myself and let it come when it comes. It's the kind of thing that we have accessed this stuff often enough that we know it'll come back at some point, or we hope it will come back at some point, but we also know that we can't force it. And so I just try to be really gentle with myself and continue to open the door and you know, step as far forward as I can until one day I get to walk through it and see what the muse has laid out. The thing that I most enjoy about songwriting is the process of it all clicking together. One of my most recent songs, Around and Around and Around, was literally written in half an hour, sitting down, wham, it all laid itself out on paper, and I was done. And that doesn't happen very often, but when clicks like that happen, it's really a lot of fun.
What's the funniest or the best anecdote you've heard about the writing life, maybe one you've experienced that's your favorite story about maybe being a singer-songwriter?
Maybe the best story right now for me is a friend of mine in New Jersey who had her life changed by a folk song. She was listening to this song one day, and it just completely undid her, and it caused her to completely change her life. I guess the reason why that's my favorite story is because it gives me some sort of faith that what we're doing is meaningful. I mean, I was just in Haiti, and 500 people died the week that I was there from the hurricane, and it felt, you know, sort of all well and good to be hitchhiking around the country and making music with locals, but it would have felt completely different to be there giving aid to the wounded. The anecdote of hearing my friend having her life changed by a folk song helps me believe that maybe what we do really is making a difference on some level that's really important.
Great. I hope that change was something where she was able to help people and didn't decide to become an investment banker or something
yeah,
like
that's
that.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for talking to me today, and I'm going to recommend that people catch you with the Six String Concert Series. You'll be in town on Friday night, September 26th. I really appreciate your talking to us. I hope everything goes well.
Great, really appreciate it.
Sure, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
My heroes were all travelers, Jacques Cousteau and Curious George, and a woman who would fly around the world. As a child, I dreamed I'd find her plane and pull it from the sea again, so the world would know the truth about that flight. I was born with the spirit of Amelia, Ferdinand Magellan by my side.